Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear brother in Christ, Norman Kari, who is not only a faithful member of this congregation, but a friend to so many in this community. And as we gather, even through tears, we still have joy and we have hope because we have Christ. And that's really what this is all about today as we gather for this funeral. We are remembering the promises that our God makes to all of us, that those who belong to him, those who endure to the end will be saved, as it says in Norman's confirmation verse, which is on the top of the bulletin today. Everything that you're going to need for the funeral service is printed for you on this blue bulletin, so hopefully you're able to grab one on your way in. Except you will need this burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you for the hymns, for the words to the different songs we're going to be singing. And the first one is number 461. We'll sing together, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." And the congregation may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Norman was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And now our service continues as we recite the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Norman and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. We begin with verses 1 through 4 and then proceed on to verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our second reading today comes from the Revelation of St. John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be power and glory forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and then proceeding to verse 25. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, having heard God's word, we'll join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same words of faith that Norman shared many times along with us. We'll do so using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and if you need the words to the creed, they are printed for you on the back flap of your hymnal. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our next hymn today is number 748, "I'm But a Stranger Here." To the family and friends of Norman Carey, and to those of you who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, to you, Kathy and Chris, who were there for Norman when he needed you, especially during these last several months, navigating through some difficult stuff. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They say that it's possible for a person to die of a broken heart. I don't know if that's actually true or valid in any sort of scientific way. I'm certainly no medical professional, so I'd have to leave that opinion to somebody like Chris and others who have a lot more experience and training in that area. All I know is what I can see with my own two eyes. And it seems to be a somewhat common experience that if you have two spouses who have been lifelong companions of one another and one of them passes away, it seems like in a lot of cases it doesn't take very long until the other one follows suit. And for those of us who knew Norman, and especially knew Norman and Marlene, his wife, together, and knew how close they were to one another and how they had been attached to each other since they were married in 1957, all the way until the day that Marlene passed away of March of this year, I don't think any of us are very surprised that Norman very quickly followed suit. Because that's what Norman did. I mean, he followed Marlene. That's what he did his whole life long. Truthfully, I don't think Norman was all that interested or excited about the idea of living in a world without Marlene in it. And thankfully, because our Lord was merciful to Norman, he didn't have to live in that kind of a world for very long. So whether or not you would consider brokenheartedness a medical condition, I would say there's definitely a spiritual component to what Norman had experienced over these last 5 months or so. Because all of a sudden, everything in his world completely changed. He wasn't able to live in the house here in town anymore. He had to go into the nursing home, and he had to try to somehow adjust to life without his bride. And all of it was new, and it was kind of scary and disorienting for him. And so there were a number of times, as I spoke with him and others spoke with him these last few months, where Norman did express this hope that he had, this prayer, that he just wanted to get home. The Lord answered that prayer. Maybe not in the way that Norman was thinking, but he did answer that prayer, more in line with what we just sang as our sermon hymn. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. The Lord called Norman home to himself in heaven last Monday. And so now Norman is reunited with Marlene and with all of the saints who have gone before us. Thanks be to God. So whether you call it a broken heart or something else, I'm thankful that what I can say today with complete confidence as I stand before all of you is that these 89 years that the Lord blessed Norman with, the overwhelming majority of them were not lived with a broken heart whatsoever. They were lived with a very full heart. Norman was a quiet man. He was an extremely patient man. He was one who never really wanted to draw much attention to himself, and he really was the kind of person you would not say was outspoken. And yet, there were things that he felt strongly about and he was passionate about. And I think a lot of them have to deal with the fact that Norman really liked to be a problem solver and figure out how to repair things that needed to be fixed, things that were broken. He had this really sharp, analytical mind. And he was able to pay really close attention to detail. And that was really evident, of course, in the way that he worked as a draftsman for National Mine, but also, of course, in the way that we saw him meticulously take care of so many different lawns around here over the years. I got to see it personally, working with the cemetery committee here over these last 6+ years. Norman worked so hard to take good care of that cemetery as our supervisor until he had to finally give up that role earlier at the beginning of this year. And when he wasn't mowing lawns and taking care of our cemetery, of course, he was also in the garden with Marlene and helping to raise all these different flowers and plants. And I mean, it takes that kind of a person. You have to be very patient. You have to pay very close attention to detail if you want to be successful in that area. And I just recently learned about his love of clocks and repairing clocks, his ability to repair all these clocks. Read about it in the obituary. We talked about it a little bit too. And that's absolutely fascinating because, again, you know, you have to have that kind of a mindset. You have to have real patience. You have to pay close attention to detail. There's a lot of little tiny parts in those clocks, and you don't want to get them all mixed up. I heard that sometimes when you'd go over to the house, he'd have all these different clocks out there that he was working on, you know, and there'd be like a symphony all of a sudden of these chimes and cuckoo birds going and tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock all the time. And I mean, he loved that stuff. That's who Norman was. And honestly, I think that part of his personality is one of the things that made these last few months maybe even more difficult for him. Just because in addition to all of a sudden not really being able to do all the things that he enjoyed doing and was used to doing, but on top of that, he was sort of forced to face the reality that as good as he was at fixing problems, there are some things in this world, there are some problems that we face that are just not fixable. Things like suffering. Things like grief. Things like death itself. Those are the kinds of things that even the greatest and most creative problem solvers in the world can't really do anything about. So that's sort of where we are, too. That's the reality that hits us at a time like this. We have Norman's casket right in front of us. And when you come to a funeral service, that is usually one of the thoughts or feelings that is in the back of your mind. It's that feeling of helplessness. You know, this is a moment that reminds us that this is a problem we can't solve. We couldn't solve it back in March with Marlene, and we can't solve it today either. But thankfully, we know somebody who can. And we know somebody who already has. And that, of course, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to us and comforts us today in a very similar way to the way that he comforted his disciples in our gospel reading that we just heard from John chapter 14. He comes to us and reminds us that he is right by our side. In this passage here, he's preparing the disciples for the day that's coming very quickly when he won't be with them any longer in the physical way that they're used to seeing him. He's preparing them for the fact that things are about to change for them very suddenly. The disciples and our Lord Jesus had been together probably almost every day for at least about 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is giving them this speech, and he's telling them that he's no longer going to be right there with them anymore. And I think it would be fair to say that those disciples were feeling, in that moment, a little brokenhearted. Or at least if they weren't feeling that way yet, they were about to feel that way very, very soon. And it's a feeling that I think that we can relate to today. Because we're also stepping into a new normal where Norman and Marlene aren't here and we can't just pick up the phone and give them a call and we drive by that house here in town and it's empty and it feels a little bit heartbreaking, doesn't it? And yet look at the way that Jesus comforts his disciples. Look what he says to them twice in this passage, twice in this chapter, in verse 1 and then later on in verse 27 too. What does Jesus say? He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." How can he say that? Considering he's about to be crucified, why does he say that to them? Well, because as he's crucified for the sins of the world, he's making it necessary, he's making everything possible for the disciples to actually go to the place where he is going. He's making it possible. He's opening that door for the disciples to be able to join him in his heavenly kingdom. And in the meantime, he's not going to leave the disciples alone. Because he says right here, he's going to send them a helper. He sends them the Holy Spirit, who gives them everything that they need. He sends them his word and his sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and the church and the faith and a hope and the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Those are the things that comfort the disciples. Those are the things that comfort us too, even in the face of death itself. When our hearts break, the Lord is near us. When Norman's heart broke in March, the Lord was with him. And yeah, we can be sad. It's okay to be sad when death occurs. But that sadness does not take away our hope. And thankfully, broken hearts for Christians don't lead to broken souls. Our God has become the ultimate problem solver for us. What he does through his son Jesus Christ is he actually answers that problem that is the biggest problem humanity's ever faced. The code of sin that even an analytical mind like Norman's wouldn't be able to crack. The Easter resurrection of Jesus Christ is the solution to the problem of death itself, because when Jesus rose from the dead, it proved that death was not powerful enough to stop the Lord from saving his people and granting to us eternal life. And that's what we really look forward to at a time like this. But that's not all. Because as if that weren't enough, there's also what's going on right now in the present. It's not just a hope for the future, but it's what Jesus does for us right now. He gives us faith and hope right now, even as we are called to wait patiently for that day when we do get to see our loved ones in heaven again. In the meantime, we don't fall into despair and fear and hopelessness because we have God's faithfulness. We have his word. We have his promises. That's what gets us through a day like today. And Norman received those promises too. He first received those promises from the Lord when he was a month old and he was baptized in April of 1934. And then it was almost 14 years later when those baptismal promises were confirmed. When he was confirmed at St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Jennings, Missouri, which was in North St. Louis in those days. And as we saw in the bulletin, we saw that memory verse that was given to him that day from Matthew 24, verse 13. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We have this hope in a bright future together. It's a future that's just like what gets described here in this other passage we had from Revelation chapter 7. The crowd wearing the white robes and waving the palm branches and this huge crowd of saints that no one can number. And guess who's in that crowd? Norman's there. Marlene's there too. And all of our loved ones who have died in the faith, worshiping the Lamb together forever and ever. Talk about having our broken hearts put back together again. And so, as it says in verse 17 of that reading, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. My friends, that is our true Christian hope. That is the ultimate solution to the problem. Because of Jesus, we have dried eyes and repaired hearts now and into eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, and your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family and friends of Norman Kari and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Norman and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is number 801, How Great Thou Art.